Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for tonight, for this opportunity of life you have given us once more, and for the privilege, God, you have given us to study your divine word of truth. We are thankful, Lord, for the subject that has been assigned this evening, that in everyone's hearing of this message tonight, that we can understand and have an appreciation for your son, Jesus, and that he is the measure you have given to all mankind, in which salvation is possible, that salvation is through, so that we can avoid the eternal torments of hell. Pray, Lord, that someone listening tonight to Brother Honeycutt's mouth, by the words that he will teach that come from your Bible, that they will be persuaded and have a desire to obey the gospel. And if someone is listening and they have erred from the truth, pray, Lord, that someone will understand the importance of why they must be restored. Heavenly Father, bless Brother Honeycutt to preach this message in such a way that those listening can understand. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting, call you. If you call in tonight, and we are so thankful to have you on the call, and we are so appreciative for your presence, and we ask you now to open your Bible and study along with us for the next 30 minutes or so, and then learn what it is to avoid this dreadful place called hell. Tonight, our speaker, the person, Brother Jack Honeycutt, he's a missionary to India and also works with the Willette Church of Christ in Macon County, Tennessee. I want him to come on and talk to us, help us all to stay out of this place called hell. Who's going to go to hell, Brother Honeycutt? Tell us.
Thank you very much. What a blessing it is to be able to come together and study the Word of God. I appreciate you joining us. I know there are folks joining in from India and from here locally. There have been people told me that are going to be listening to the lesson tonight. It is an honor for me to be able to share the greatest message ever given to man. I want to share with you this idea of who is going to hell. Well, first of all, I want to share with you a survey that was done by USA Today in 1998. And the question was asked in that survey, is there a hell? And it might be interesting tonight to note that 42% said certainly there is a hell. 48% said there could be, might be. 10% didn't know for sure. Now, I got on the internet this past week, and I looked, and you can do the same thing, at this, it's called World Death Meter Online. And it tells us that 106 precious souls die every minute. 6,300 die every hour. 153,424 die every day. That's 4.6 million per month. That's 56 million per year. Have you got the picture? Friends, death is a reality. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's appointed to man once to die, but it doesn't stop there. It says it's appointed to man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. What is hell like? In this same survey, it is interesting to note that 48% said that it is a real place with suffering and torment. 46% said, no, it's not a real place. It's just an anguish, a state of existence, an annihilation. And there are religious folks that believe that there's really no such thing as eternal hell. But friends, tonight we're not going to go on what the USA survey says. We're not going to listen to what our skeptics say of the day. God's word has settled the matter forever. Psalm 119:89. O Lord, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Friends, it doesn't matter whether we agree with it. It doesn't matter whether the majority agrees with it. The Bible says it, and that settles it. And there's a story found in the Bible in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And it is the story that our Lord taught. It's been debated for years whether it's a parable or not. And to me, it doesn't matter whether it's a parable or not. It's in the New Testament. The Lord taught it. And he taught some very vital truths concerning life after death and the hereafter. You know, one of the worst things that has come about in the modern world is skepticism concerning the things of God, especially those things that are written in the Bible. Many in our day have no confidence in the truth of the Word of God. Be that as it may, the Bible is still the Word of God. It is still divinely inspired, and it is still believable in every aspect, and every person will stand before Almighty God and give an account of the things that are written in this book. You know, perhaps no other teaching has received more doubt than the one that I'm getting ready to read about, and that is the doctrine of hell. If someone still believes in hell, they're called old-fashioned, out of touch, out of step with reality, foolish, and ignorant, many appealing to rationality and reason. They tell us this concept of eternal hell, where sinners burn forever, is ludicrous and demeaning. Where's the love at, they say. Others appealing to the very nature of God. And they will say it flies in the very face of God to teach that he will consign people to hell. Still others, turning to religion, tell us that man is capable of redeeming himself. Every man is working out his own heaven, and there will be no hell for no one. Now, my friends, Romans 11, verse 22 says, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." Are you aware of the fact tonight, without exception, that many have concocted a plan whereby that they and their followers can escape eternal damnation and live joyfully in a better world? Even those who reject their plan will either be totally annihilated or will ultimately be saved. That sounds pretty good, but friends, there's a problem. It is a lie. Remember, Satan is a liar and the father of it, John 8 and verse number 44. I'm not concerned with what you believe about hell. I'm not concerned with what the world believes about hell. I'm not concerned even what I believe about hell. My focus tonight will be, what does the Bible say? What does God say about hell? Because in the end, it won't matter what any of us think about it. The scriptures will be proven correct, and every philosophy and opinion of men will perish. Friends, if you're going there right now, I hope this is your wake-up call and your opportunity to do something about it. If you're saved, a Christian, according to what the Bible says, then this is a reminder that billions are hell-bound even as we speak. Here is the truth tonight about hell and who's going. In Luke 16, our Lord said, beginning with verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell," some translations use the word Hades, "and in Hades," or hell, "he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send at Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." I will come back to that text in just a moment. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 23 and verse 28, hell is a real place. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In verse 28, he says, "I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." It's not just a figment of man's imagination. It's a place. The text treats hell as a real place as any other geographical location. You can't have one without the other. If hell is not a real place, heaven's not a real place. As a matter of fact, in 2018, there was a 2018 a news poll that showed that 70% of Americans believed in heaven, while only about 28% believed in hell. Well, friends, the same book that teaches us how beautiful heaven is the same book that teaches us about hell. Did you know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had more to say about torment, about hell, than he did eternal life in heaven? Why? Because he wanted to emphasize to humanity the reality that hell is a place. Jesus believed in it. In Mark 9, in verses 43 through 48, I don't have time tonight to go and expose that text and do an exposition on that text, but it is very interesting. Now, someone says, but where is hell? Yes, there is a difference between Hades and Gehenna, Tartarus and Gehenna. But we do know that all these verses teach that the fact that hell will be outer darkness, away. This is the reality of hell. It is absolute, eternal separation from the very presence of God. Friends, Jesus believed it. Jesus taught it. The Bible teaches that it is a real place. Number two, verse 22, hell will be filled with real people. In verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. This man was some mother's son. Possibly he left a wife and a children behind. He certainly had brothers, according to verse 28, and they were on his mind. Here is the sad fact. You know, and I know people that will populate hell right now. I know people in my life. It could be a family member, could be a friend, could be a coworker. In fact, there could be those of your own household that die and will go to hell. Hell wasn't made for man. Matthew 25:41, it was made for the devil and his angels, but it was also made to those who reject Jesus Christ and refuses to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, it will be filled with real people. People who simply said no to God. Who will you be among them, I ask? Who do you know that will be? Now, if you attend a funeral, then you would think that, and I think this is true, that every funeral that I've ever attended, that whoever it is that died, regardless whether they be religious or not, they're going to go to heaven. But friends, that's what the preacher says. What would God say? Now, number three tonight, I want to look at the fact that hell contains real punishment. Verses 23, verses through 25. The Bible says that he is begging for Lazarus to come, that he may dip the tip of his finger. He says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. This rich man was rich on the earth, but now he is a beggar. Hell contains real punishment. The language that is used, it couldn't be any more plain than that hell is a place of pain and torment. Many feel that this is symbolic. They better hope so, because symbolism is only used when conventional language is adequate to describe something. The reality is always much worse than the symbol. Friends, real punishment. Listen to some of these things in the Bible that is used to describe real torment. In Mark 9:43, unquenchable fire. He says it's better to go and to have thy hand, if it offends thee, to cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands, to go into hell and into the fire that shall never be quenched. It doesn't matter if you've been there 1,000 years. It's an unquenchable fire, according to our Lord. According to verses 25, 27, and 28, you have memory. You have remorse. He wished that he had done things different. When he died and went to torment, it was too late. You see, real torment in hell contains an intense, unsatisfied thirst. He's begging just for a little bit of water, not for a gallon of water, not for 10 gallons of water, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. And yet, folks will say, hell is not really literal torment. This man was in torment. It was an unsatisfied thirst. He was in misery. He was in pain. Revelation 14, verse number 11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. There is frustration. There's anger in hell. In Matthew 24, verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is an eternal separation from God. From what? Everything that is beautiful, everything that is good, everything that is holy, everything that is right, an eternal separation from Almighty God. Not only that, my friends, it is the undiluted wrath of God. In hell, God's fury will be unleashed. If for nothing else, this ought to make everyone want to be saved. Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to go to heaven? Are you going to continue going down the road that you're traveling right now? And if you're honest with yourself, and I'm honest with myself, where is the destination? Will it take me to heaven or hell? Number four tonight, I want to look at the fact that hell guarantees real permanency. The rich man was told that he had to stay there, and he's still there tonight. There's a great gulf that separates Lazarus and the rich man. If you die without Jesus Christ, without obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you go to hell. If you go to hell, you'll be there forever. Hell is not an annihilation. And the devil, Revelation 14, verse 10, and the devil deceived them, and they was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's not a temporary place of purging. It is a permanent torment. Hell is not in the grave. Verses 22 and 23. One was buried and one was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You see, the soul did not go to the grave. The body went to the grave. But where did his soul go? It goes to the hidden world. Hell is not a parable. It is not a scare tactic. It is reality. And it is waiting on you. If you're outside of Jesus Christ tonight, that you can make the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life. Now, friends, number five, I want to get to what our lesson is about tonight. And that is that hell can be avoided through a real promise. In other words, if you look at verses 27 through 31, the rich man was concerned about his five brethren. They were still on the earth. He wanted someone to go back and to teach his five brethren, testify unto them. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. I ask you a question tonight. Could there be someone in torment right now that's pleading on your behalf? Is there someone in the same place that the rich man is this very evening that is begging and pleading that someone could rescue you and save you and teach you the gospel and avoid you going to that place? Perhaps so. See, the rich man was told, though, that they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man is told that the word of God holds the answer. My friends, it's still holds the gospel, still holds the answer tonight. Now the question, and for the remainder of my time, who goes to hell? You know, that is an interesting question. Who goes to hell? Someone says, well, you know, you folks in the Church of Christ, you think that you're the only ones going, and then you've got this thing all figured out, and that makes you the judge and the jury. No, my friends, let me share with you what the Bible says. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, you'll see that there were religious folks that Jesus said that some religious folks will go to hell. Read Matthew 23. The Pharisees were religious. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he, now watch this, that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, what day? Judgment day. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name done many wonderful works, done all these good things? But then I will say unto him, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, my friends, could you imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, you thinking you're religious, you know, you believe in God, you may even have a Bible, and you think that because you have those things and you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, that you're going to heaven, and to hear Jesus say, I never knew you. Depart. Why? Because they did not and would not do the will of God. You may be religious tonight, and you still are not in harmony with the will of God. You see, what we got to do is swallow our pride. We've got to open up the Scriptures, and we've got to see exactly what the Lord said in order to do, what to do to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Someone says, hey, you don't really have to do that. That's just a matter of speech. No, my friends, it is right there, black and white. Well, as a matter of fact, it's red letter. Our Lord said that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, is that all a man has to do? Well, of course not. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. When you believe that gospel and you repent of your sins, you know what the most difficult part of the plan of salvation? Why, it's not hearing. It's not believing. It's not being baptized. It's not saying with your mouth that Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's repentance. It's a turning of your mind, of your will, of your actions. Yet Jesus said in Luke 13:3, and again in verse 5, repent or to perish. I know a lot of folks, if they didn't have to repent, why, they'd be baptized, but he wouldn't do them any good. Friends, you may be a slave to drugs and alcohol. You may be a slave to your own weaknesses and sin, and what you need to do is to repent of those sins and believe with all of your heart and be baptized into Jesus Christ, not just to get wet, but to contact the blood of Jesus, to have your sins forgiven. That's who's going to heaven, those that do that. But now, it's a passage that really, really, I think is important and pertinent to our subject tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you can do that, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. Perhaps you may even have it committed to memory. Listen to what the Lord said. And to you, through the Apostle Paul, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica, those that were Christians. You may be troubled, but rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now watch this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. The Lord's coming back one day to take vengeance. Are you going to be a part of the group or an individual that will have vengeance taken on you? Who's he taking vengeance on? On them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, oh, who's going to heaven? I know who's going to heaven. It's very clear. Matthew 7:21, those that do the will of God and those that know not God, that is, that they are ignorant of God, they are ignorant, they do not have proper understanding of God, and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, people laugh at the idea of having to obey. I've been in debates before where people say, you're working your way to heaven. Did Jesus say, did Paul say that we're working our way to heaven? No, it's works of obedience. It is a faith that motivates us to obey what God said and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a man on this earth can deny what that scripture says. But look at verse number 9. Who, now who's the who? Those in verse number 8 that knows not the gospel and obey not the gospel, who shall be punished from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He's coming to punish those that don't know God, those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, who's going to hell? All you got to do is read Revelation 21, verse number 8, and it mentions a bunch of sins. You know what number one the sin is? The fearful. The fearful. That is, those that don't have the courage and the boldness to obey the gospel. I know some real men. I mean, they're strong. They lift weights. They are much, much stronger physically than I. They are men that perhaps play sports, and they're durable. They work out. But let me tell you something. Spiritually, they're weaklings. They don't have the courage to obey God and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, the Bible tells us that God loves us, John 3:16. He tells us of Christ's death to save us. Read Isaiah 53, the whole chapter. It tells us of Christ's resurrection that guarantees eternal life to all who come to him by faith. It takes real work to go to hell. I have a sermon that I preach. What if you miss heaven? What are you going to do if you miss heaven? Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do nothing, because you're going to be in pain. You're going to be in torment. You're going to be eternally separated from everything that is good and right and holy. And you're going to be in darkness and torment, and you're going to be there forever. It tells of a God who will save us and who will come to save us by his grace and our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight, friends. Many of you that are listening are New Testament Christians, but there perhaps are those that are not. If you were to die this very night, it would be too late to make a decision tomorrow. I've had 5 funerals in the last 4 months, and I'm telling you, I was very blessed to be able to preach those funerals because they were Christians. But could you imagine standing over a person and preaching a funeral that rejected God, rejected the gospel? I ask you a question now. Will you choose heaven over hell? Will you be born again? Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The most important decision you ever make on this earth will be to choose to be a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. Our Lord died for his one church, his one body. And when we repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, he adds us to that one true body, and the rest of our life upon this earth is to be lived in serving him, letting our light shine, being the salt of the earth. I beg and I plead with you, every person that's listening to this tonight, to make sure that your life is in harmony with the will of God. If we can help you in any way, please let it be known. We'll study with you. We'll answer any Bible question that you may have. But just remember, who is going to hell? Those that perhaps are religious, that did not obey God. And number two, those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We love you. We care about you. Galatians 4:16, am I becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? No, my friends, I'm speaking these things in love. I know that even in some of our congregations, folks have gotten to the point that they don't even believe that hell's a real place, real torment, real separation from God. Oh, may we never be there. We're always doing what God said. Obeying the gospel. It is a joy to be a Christian. It is a joy tonight to know that if I leave this world this very night, I'm going to heaven. I want you to have that same promise. May God bless you.
Well, Honeycutt, thank you so very much, because this is a subject that everyone has to understand is just as true as heaven. You've done an outstanding job tonight. You know, the good news of the gospel is that no one has to go to hell. But it is real, like you said. If we believe in heaven, then we only know about that place because of this book called the Bible. And so that same book tells us about hell. If you're on the call tonight, my friends, we've been hosting this gospel call, and we've been inviting our friends and family, because none of us, I know you're on this call tonight, not because you want to go to hell. No one wants to go to that place. That's if we believe it's real. Now, if we believe in the Bible, and believe everything that was taught tonight came from the Bible. One thing that I so much appreciate about Brother Jack, first time I heard him on the World Video Bible School, a debate on water baptism. That's how I got to know him, from watching that video. And I'm so thankful that he accepted my invitation, because he's sound and very powerful. And he, like myself, do not mind telling people the truth. We're not your enemies. People who don't tell you the truth are your enemies. We're telling the truth on this program. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are the targeted audience. That's what I mean. Let me say it again. You are the targeted audience. Someone invited you to hear. Because in the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible has all of the right answers to save our souls. People are dying. With the COVID-19, people are dying. We're seeing the death more so than we've ever seen it before. But people have been dying way before this. Brother Honeycutt gave us statistics, on that tonight. People were dying way before the COVID. Many have died. But will you die in your sin? Don't do that. Don't do that, because hell is real. We're trying to miss hell. We got a heaven to win and a hell to miss, my friends. So if you're on the call tonight, you need to be baptized. If you're not a member of Church of Christ, you're not saved. Let's be real clear. There's only one church in the Bible. This book is right. You want to be among those few who Jesus said would find that straight and narrow way, then you got to obey the gospel. You got to be baptized. You got to become a member of that true church. So you want to do that? Get back with the person who invited you to call. They're members of the Church of Christ. They want you to hear this. They want you to hear the truth in love. That's what we're doing. We're not being mean. I'm trying to put down anyone else. But we believe that if you're going to be saved, and there are people who are looking to be saved, they don't want sugar-coated information. They want straight truth. That's what Brother Honeycutt did tonight. Give us a straight truth. So go ahead and email us. If the person can't help you get baptized or find a Church of Christ close to you, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangement, no matter where you are. If you're in India tonight, hopefully, as Brother Honeycutt says, some are listening from India. Some are listening all over this nation. This call has grown to be a number that we have never imagined. All across the nation, people are listening. And maybe you're one of those few, those who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. Please, please listen to the truth. Now, you may want to go to our website and listen to Brother Honeycutt's lesson again and take notes and study it for yourself. Go ahead and go to our website, Holland Heights, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's Holland, that's HIGHLAND, Heights, HIGHSTS, Holland Heights, COC.net. And you go on there, and that's where you'll find our website. And the Nationwide Gospel Meeting is on there, but Honeycutt's message will be uploaded tonight, and tomorrow you'll be able to listen to it. And we're thankful for all those who are helping us with this program. Go ahead and go on the call. Go on the website and listen for yourself. Study. Read it. Luke 16 is true. The rich man and Lazarus. Read that for yourself, that you may save your soul. May God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Lord, we love you. Father, we love you for giving your son through the golden text of your word. You so loved us that you gave your only begotten son. We believe that. That he gave his life. It was him who said, greater love hath no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. Father, we thank you for our friends that are on the call tonight. Our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers, our family, and those we've invited to hear. Thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ who are supporting our call and continuing to share with their friends and families and those they know this simple truth. Now we ask that you would touch the hearts of those who've listened. We pray that they would receive your word with meekness, and knowing that it's able to save their souls. We love you and thank you, Father, for Brother Honeycutt. And it is our prayer that you would bless him, his ministry. Those in India, hope perhaps they're listening tonight, and this call is going global. We're thankful for that. We're in Japan. India. We pray that many will listen all over the world, because you commanded us to go through to all the world and preach this gospel. We're doing that. And we know that you will give the increase. Thank you, Father, for our listening audience. We love you, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great night. Brother Honeycutt, you did it. You did exactly what I asked you to do. I appreciate you so very much. And for all your supporters and all those you invited, we thank you all for supporting him and coming on to listen as well. Tomorrow night, my friend, my neighbor, my sister minister when I was in Arkansas, Brother Larry Bishop, another repeat defender of the truth. You know, this theme this week, forever, Lord, that word has been settled in heaven. No one can question the Supreme Court of heaven. It already ruled on all these matters that we've talked about. Tomorrow night is the matter of the one church. No matter what you believe or what the Constitution say, any church would do, that is not what the Bible says. I know Larry Bishop is going to do a fantastic job of giving us book, chapter, and verse that God's word has settled this matter. Nobody can question it. Thursday night, another friend of mine, Joe Caesar, another one, will bring us the truth about the blood of Christ. And closing out this week, a good friend of mine, also another powerful preacher from Concord, North Carolina, Tim Ellaby, another repeat defender. And even though it's December 25th, y'all know we don't believe, we know, we all know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. That's nowhere in the Bible. This is not going to be a Christmas sermon. That's not what it's about. But there is a Savior. And Tim's going to tell us about him, by Christ the Savior. So it's not going to be a Christmas sermon, or preaching against Christmas and all that. But we're going to come by and talk about the Savior who died for all of us. Because Jesus' birthday is not even mentioned on December 24th. That's false doctrine. We're not going to deal with all that. And if you just use common sense, God would never use a fat man wearing a red suit coming down the chimney to represent his son who died the cruel death on the cross. Won't you just use common sense? You know that couldn't have came from God. You know that. The caller here about the Savior, that came from God. God bless all of y'all. We love you. May God bless you. Call in tomorrow night. Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, minister of the Church of Christ and Allies, located in 1005 West New York in Houston, Texas. God bless you. Have a good night, friend.